Welcome to the Watering Hole Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Riemann. The Watering Hole is a place to come and quench your thirst for meaning, nourish your hunger for inspiration, and feed your need for connection. Featuring inspirational talks, curious conversations, mystical meditations, and other artistic expressions, exploring themes on life, spirituality, nature, mystery, and so much more. So meet me at the Watering Hole, and together, let's drink from deep waters. Today, I want to take a moment and consider the garden as a metaphor for our lives. The garden may be our oldest metaphor. The Jewish and Christian story has all of life coming to fruition, including humanity, in a garden, in the Garden of Eden. The fall, when Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, is indicative of humanity's disconnection with nature. And from there, as the scriptural stories play out, we see the seeds of desire, envy, greed, murder, adultery, and all that springs from our disconnection to nature and each other take root and play out in the stories that follow it. Stories of wars between nations, tribes, and within families, culminating in our present day reality, where war, fighting, and competition continues to increase division within ourselves, among people, the land, and our relationship with the more than human world. Harmony between people and the land, honoring and protecting the diversity of plants and animals, and the idea of seeds blossoming, ripening, and becoming nutrient, bringing forth beauty and food and sharing it. This is a vision of true community, often referred to in the Christian tradition as the kingdom of God. And we catch glimpses of it in the garden. Anyone who's ever worked a garden knows this isn't a romantic vision. A garden demands hard work, commitment, and vigilance. It requires knowledge and understanding of what makes a rich and nutrient soil, which seeds are best for what conditions, and ongoing tending and weeding. And then bring humans into the mix, and there is sure to be conflict. It's a wise gardener who knows how to prevent an invasive species, person, or group of people from overtaking. And it's a wise gardener who knows what is a weed and what is not. It's a wise gardener who knows which seeds need more water, sun, and shade, and which need less. It's a wise gardener who knows which plants complement and help each other grow and which need their own space. As a metaphor, the garden reminds us that life is about tending. Tending to ourselves, tending to our relationships, tending to the land, and nurturing life in our little plot of this community garden we call the world. The question is, can we tend to what needs tending with love? Not out of duty or obligation or fear, but love. I think that's what it's going to take to reestablish this garden and reclaim it from the briar patch it's become. Think about a briar patch. Figuratively, a briar patch is an intellectual or philosophical issue abounding with seemingly unresolvable problems. Literally, it's a dense thicket of thorny plants or ground made impassable by the impenetrable overgrowth of prickly vegetation. To me, that seems a really good metaphor for the current state of affairs in our world. It's difficult to plant seeds, let alone for them to blossom, in a briar patch. And yet there is no garden without seed. Seeds are what are most essential to life, to our sustenance. For many centuries, the planting of seeds in the earth symbolized the mystery of life and the journey of the soul, Through a descent into the underworld, life was regenerated. Through the darkness, we are reborn into the light. In our current supermarket life of prepackaged products, far removed from the cycles of planting, we may have forgotten this mystery, and yet it remains within our psyches as one of the most symbolic and nourishing stories of the soul, a connection with the deeper meaning of our existence. And now, as the integrity of the seed is threatened, so is this story and its primal meaning. Seeds are the central metaphor for who we are, the course our lives follow, and how we live today, as well as how we cherish what's passed down to us and how we take care of what's to come. The seed is such a profound symbol for the mystery and manifestation of life that all the religious traditions of the world have incorporated it into their teachings. In Christianity, the seed is a metaphor for the kingdom of God, a reality based in love, justice, and compassion. In Judaism, Torah scrolls are decorated with pomegranates, a symbol of the fertility of the promised land. It's said that the pomegranate has 613 seeds, which is equal to the mitzvah or spiritual practices commanded by God in the Torah. Each seed or practice has the potential to awaken the one who engages it. In Buddhism, there's talk about the seed of Buddha nature, bodhicitta, the potential for an awakening that resides in all sentient beings. Cultivating this seed is the basis of all Buddhist practice. In Hinduism, seeds are thrown into sacrificial fires for purification and to call forth abundance. The seed is a symbol of sustenance, nourishment, prosperity, and well-being. In fact, the word Shiva, one of the Hindu names for the divine, means the seed. Shiva is understood to be the eternal and infinite source of goodness and truth, benefiting all. In other words, a seed is one of the best representations that Hinduism could find for describing the powers of the divine. In Native American culture, seeds are considered ancestors and offspring. They're the future and they are the past. They are the mother of life and the circle of life. We nourish this garden every single day with every thought we think, word we speak, and action we take. And they can either be fertilizer or poison. They can either be help or hindrance to our own or another's blossoming. So we need to be careful with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Do we need to share that criticism or judgment? If we do, can we do it in a way that's life-giving rather than diminishing? Do we need to tell that person that they're doing wrong or how they're not measuring up? Do I need to be meddling in their garden plot at all? Or might I vitalize their effort with encouragement like water to a flower? Or might we even trust them to grow their dream seed according to their own understanding of what their seed needs, whether it's to my liking or not? We are seeds and we carry infinite seeds within us. Dreams, visions, hopes, fears, and whether or not they manifest, whether or not they take root and sprout, depends on how we water, fertilize, and tend them with our thoughts, emotions, and actions, as well as our ideas, beliefs, and biases. And they grow and blossom or wither and die accordingly. So what seeds are you wanting to plant and nurture in this season of your life? What dream seeds are calling to you, are wanting to take root? What part of your garden needs tending and what part needs to lie fallow and rest and regenerate for future plantings? We never really know which seeds will take root, sprout, blossom, and bear fruit, and which ones won't. And if there's anything I've learned from tending to my own dream seeds, is that once they're planted, you can't really control them. And the garden is no place for a perfectionist. Anytime there's a new seed and a fragile sprout, it requires greater attention and tending than a more mature tree or plant. And as we know, some seeds don't root solidly and others do. Some seed flowers quickly and others require greater patience. But all seeds, whether dream seeds or actual seeds, follow the course of life, death, and rebirth. That's their magic. Seeds are eternal, forever young, always regenerative. Genetically modified seeds whose regenerative power has been stripped are not seeds at all, but merely products bought and sold, used to control people and manipulate the land. And they're hampering Earth's own ability to regenerate and stripping us of much needed nutrients. Scientists have found that vegetables that grow from genetically modified seeds don't carry the same nutrient load, vitamins or minerals, that natural seeds do. And we know that genetically modified seeds are also being used by large corporations to manipulate other human beings, namely farmers. So it serves us well to take this metaphor deeply, even into our choices of what we buy at the grocery store. Because it matters. It matters to our bodies, and it matters to the earth, to the ground that we stand upon. The mystic Julian of Norwich, holding an acorn in her hand in the 14th century, said of it, "In this is all that is. In every seed lie the components of all life the world has known from all time to now and into the future. The seed is the beginning and the end, the origin and the completion of the whole plant. Really, of the whole world." As life coach Cynthia Ocelli said, "To achieve its greatest expression, a seed must come completely undone. The shell cracks, its insides come out, and everything changes." To someone who doesn't understand growth, it would look like complete destruction. To me, this is a description of our current reality. The shell has cracked on our current reality, and we are seeing many of the systems that once worked come completely undone. And to me, rather than inciting fear, it calls for excitement because it means that we're at the beginning of new life, new growth, a new season. And what becomes of this garden is largely in our hands, our hearts, and our minds. Now more than ever, the metaphor of the garden invites us to consider just who and what we want to become. We are all gardeners, and it is ours to tend to the ground we find ourselves on, to make this plot in this community garden conducive to life. And we do that by cultivating a spirit of reciprocity with the elements, with the land, and with other people who also have plots in this community garden. To see our life as a garden is to understand that we are in relationship. We are kin with all that is, soil, seed, water, air, and earth, as well as ants, spiders, worms, bees, birds, even weeds, and each other. And as gardeners ourselves, we have to commit to tending these relationships with love and care. It's time that we look at the ground of our being to determine how nutrient-rich we are or how depleted we are, so we can discern what it is we need to fertilize the seeds of life and love that can transform this briar patch, this thorny world where we've become adept at poking, cutting, and tearing into each other, into beauty and balm, healing, and nourishment for ourselves and our world. So this week, take some time to reflect on the seeds that you want to plant and nurture, as well as the quality of seeds that you sow every day. Seeds of kindness or hatred. Seeds of compassion or judgment. Seeds of hope or despair. Seeds of encouragement or criticism. Seeds of love or seeds of fear. Because what grows in this community garden that we call the world is in our hands and in our hearts. Thanks for listening, everybody. I look forward to meeting you right back here at the watering hole. And as Mary Oliver said, go easy, be filled with light, and shine.